When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
An ABC original movie.
Jeff.
Olivia. Wow. It's the
most. Jeff's family and my family have been coming here for Christmas since we were six.
See the way he looks at you? The same way he looked at you when you were teenagers.
I have to let him know how I feel before another Christmas goes by.
Fall in love this holiday season. Lea Michele stars in an ABC original movie. Same time next Christmas. Premieres Thursday, December 5th on ABC.
Hello and welcome to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
Jenna, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How you doing?
Good. I feel like we've been doing this intro so many times, we like have it down pat.
We're so, yeah.
We got
A material.
We got
this.
Today we are covering a movie called Same Time Next Christmas, which premiered on ABC, starring Queen Icon legend Lea Michele, who I love, which is not a popular opinion.
Oh.
A lot of people do not care for Lea Michele.
Is it because of the whole post-Glee?
I don't know why they don't like her, but I think maybe because of Glee, people thought she was a little bit annoying or something like that. But I always feel like we should support her. She's such a talent. And it makes me sad that she's being sort of cast aside and not given like Hollywood roles. I know this movie was an ABC film, but from what I understand, it was developed as a freeform movie.
Oh.
And then it became something that they decided to put on ABC because they thought it was good enough.
Yeah.
So that's the that on that.
It does have good sets and it is interesting how they do it.
And at the end of the movie, there was a freeform product. It said like a freeform production. So it must have been a freeform movie.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I really enjoyed it for a few different reasons. And we're going to get into the movie in just a second. But before I do, I want to say that she has a holiday album out that I've been listening to that I think is fantastic. It's got Jonathan Groff on it, who's her best friend in real life. And Darren Criss from Glee is on it. And it's just like a solid Christmas album. She has an original Christmas song called Christmas in New York that I think is great. But it's a solid Christmas album. If you ever liked any of the Glee songs, which I unfortunately did.
Then you'll love it. Does she cover the classics?
Yeah, she does. I'll Be Home for Christmas. She does a lot of them. She does a lot of great Christmas. I think there's only one original.
Yeah.
She also does Do You Want to Build a Snowman from Frozen, which inexplicably is now a holiday song, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's like disappointing she doesn't have Idina Menzel on.
Oh, gosh.
Because they played mother-daughter on Glee, and Idina just came out with her second holiday album.
That would have been a good tie-in.
Right.
The only hard copy CD I still own is NSYNC Christmas, and I listen to it every holiday season. I love that album to this day.
It's so good.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Holy so Night. Good. It's so good.
They have a ballad with Rosie O'Donnell that's on her Christmas album.
What?
Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Rosie O'Donnell inexplicably has two holiday albums.
Of singing?
She's released two holiday albums. I own them both. They're both fantastic. They're her doing duets with other people. She has a duet with Elmo. She has a duet with Angelica Pickles from Rugrats, Queen Icon legend.
I feel like she could do spoken word. I feel like she would be really good at spoken word poetry.
She has a terrible voice, but she does a lot of duets. There's also
that.
A version of, what is it that she does with Cher? And the CD came out right around the time of Cher's Believe album.
Oh,
so they do heavy voice. What is that voice changer?
Synthesizing?
Whatever that voice change. Do you believe in life after love? Oh, they do have wagon wheel with two sheets. She has a duet with Cher where they got the voice coder thing going on. And I think, Please Come Home for Christmas, I think.
Rosie's lived many lives.
She has.
Yeah.
It's so funny to me that she was like dubbed the Queen of Nice back in the day. I could talk about Rosie for hours.
Yeah.
She was dubbed the Queen of Nice.
When she had her talk show.
When she had her talk show. And then it's like her shift and suddenly became this like angry lesbian, which she had referenced on The View. She said, now I'm big, fat, angry lesbian Rosie, she said in that infamous fight with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
But so it's such a weird shift. She was Queen of Nice and then all of a sudden she was someone different. I want to mention briefly, speaking of Rosie O'Donnell, that I have a Rosie O'Donnell ornament on my tree.
Oh, which one?
That's a cartoon version of Rosie that she did as like a charity thing during her talk show years.
Yes.
And it arrived at my house with no return address. I did not order it.
What?
3 years ago or something around the holiday season, I get this package that was a Rosie O'Donnell ornament. And I said to Matt, I said, did you order this for me? Because it was a perfect gift.
Yeah.
Of course, I love it. I didn't even know it existed.
And no one's owned up to it?
No one's owned up to it. If anyone out there knows who sent me this Rosie O'Donnell ornament, know that I worship them. I've since ordered an extra one just in case this one breaks. I ordered one
on
eBay because I loved it so much. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, it came. It was a Christmas miracle.
That is so interesting.
Christmas
so
miracles funny. Do happen. They and do. That happened.
Yeah.
So I got this Rosie O'Donnell ornament. But that's neither here nor there. This Lea Michele movie.
Oh, yes. Which I liked it because this is the second one we've ever covered that has a lot of time travel. Christmas had a longer time travel. But this one we saw through in a lifetime.
Things moved fast.
Fast.
Fast, fast, fast. Now we open with Olivia Anderson is her name, mm-hmm. Lea Michele's character. She's a working gal in Cincinnati, which at first I thought it was in New York, but I love to see that it was Ohio. I'm mm-hmm. an Ohio gal myself.
Yes.
I'm from the Cleveland area, but it was nice to see Ohio representation on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that, she's an architect.
Yes.
Not sure that's that believable to me.
Yeah.
I would have liked her to have like some sort of singing role.
Yeah.
She's got a great voice. She just has a new holiday album out. She should have, instead of been an architect, maybe something else. Yeah. Something that sings. Mm-hmm. A musician.
A karaoke. Perhaps. Or a radio DJ who does her own originals.
She should have, you were right, karaoke though, that would have been great too.
Yeah.
Because I used to know this older woman who, she would run the karaoke nights at the bowling alley in Solon, Ohio.
What was the name of your bowling alley?
Solon Freeway Lanes.
Ours was Cascade Lanes. Okay.
We also had a Roseland Bowling, which was... I think that's where she did the karaoke, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But yeah, she was in charge of the karaoke and she would always just intersperse her own songs because my friends, we would go there in like high school on that mm-hmm. night and she was an older lady and she would just, if no one else was singing, she'd be like, I'm just going to do a little number that I wrote.
Yeah. One for them, one for you.
Whiskey voice. And I remember she literally like smoked a cigarette while she sang. So it was like,
those were the glory days of bowling alleys in the 90s.
Like, yeah, I will never forget like her just singing. I don't remember what the fucking ditty she was singing was. She's like, men love you and then they leave you. And then she'd like take a drag of a cigarette.
As the instrumental interlude played.
And it was never like good instrument because she didn't have a band or anything.
Oh,
but she would play like just random that karaoke sounds, which they're like the worst versions of the studio recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she would sing originals and then randomly sing some song that's been at like, shares just like Jesse James or something with a cigarette. I love her.
She was going through something. There was some man or woman that she was singing that towards.
She was always
that we'll
going
never
through
know.
Something. Let me tell you. She was one of those people who I imagine was always going through. You know those friends who it's like they always are always on the brim. They're always losing it. They're always like going through a divorce or losing their job or like, and no matter when you talk to them, something bad's happening.
Which I actually ties into this movie because as they go through the years, everyone comes from like, which I like this, not perfect families. There's a lot of blending. Everyone's either widowed or divorced or losing custody or gay. Like, there's so much.
So many layers. And I'm so glad you brought that up because it's almost like an anti Hallmark movie in a lot of ways. It's still very festive, but it's so anti because we're not in a snowy location. Because after we leave Cincinnati, in Cincinnati, the guy who brokered the deal for her architect project,
he
like flirts with her and gives a number or whatever.
Greg.
But then we cut to Hawaii. And so we're in, the movie's largely set in Hawaii, this tropical location, which Hallmark would never do. Hallmark Channel, Lifetime, they're always in a very snowy town. We also have people of color. We have interracial relationships. We have, you're right.
Adoption.
Cool, there's like a lot of different things happening. And it made me love it. And I think this holiday season, we might have mentioned this before, but this holiday season, now that the other networks are getting on board, we're getting so much more representation, different things. There was a movie on Lifetime, forgive me if I already mentioned it, but it was called Twinkle All the Way.
Okay.
And it was a Lifetime one that I watched. I put it on my stories as I watched it, but there was a gay couple in it. And it was so beautiful to me that there was a gay couple that kissed at the end. They weren't the main characters, of course, but it was Lifetime. And I was so happy for Lifetime for doing that they showed a gay kiss in one of these movies.
Yes.
And Lifetime has been stepping up and showing gay characters. Hallmark, again, is the one network that has never shown gay characters.
Yeah.
And the Hallmark president, I want to say, just recently did an interview and said he's open to it. And I was like, that's bullshit. First of all, you're open to possibly having gay people in your films or gay characters in your movies, mm-hmm. you do fucking 40 of them a year. They did 40 fucking new holiday movies this year. Not a single fucking LGBT character across the board in any of those movies, not even as a side character. And I'm getting pissed because mm-hmm. in interviews, this guy is doing, and the people of Hallmark are doing, they're asking, why is there not better representation?
Yes.
And the guy's saying, well, we do have people of color as leads in the films. And the interviewers are constantly asking, well, what about, when will you do an LGBTQ-led Hallmark movie where there's a romantic LGBT storyline? And what I'm getting frustrated by is, as a watcher of these movies, I know that they're Hallmark Channel, specifically that channel, not the others, not Lifetime, but Hallmark Channel hasn't even had a side character that has been LGBT. Mm-hmm. And so I want an interviewer to say to this man or these people that run that network, okay, if you're not going to give us in your 40 new movies a lead character that's LGBT, will you give us, why hasn't there been a side character? Why isn't one of the siblings or mm-hmm. the worker at the shop?
Mm-hmm. The gift wrapper.
Hasn't there been any sort of representation? Yeah. Because you think about how many speaking roles there are in those movies. 40 mm-hmm. new ones 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It's bullshit. And yeah. I wish the interviewers would say to him, okay, well, you're saying you're open to the idea of gay leads. Are you open to even just a gay speaking character?
Yeah.
Okay, I lost it.
It's so true, because that's what I liked about this one also, is that Lea Michele's brother and husband, yes. they were in an interracial relationship. They had an adopted son. I wanted so much more screen time from them.
Yeah, I think but it was so great that they had that. Like, Hallmark would never.
Exactly. And it was nice, like, oh, this just looks normal. Okay, good. Finally, you know?
Right, finally. Yeah. That's all I'm asking from Hallmark. So people hear me harp on this all the time, and I'm sure people roll their eyes and get pissed that I constantly am saying it. But the Hallmark Channel specifically, it just frustrates me because I love those movies so much. And I think, what? You can't even have like one speaking character, because they constantly have a best friend who has a husband, a best friend who is a woman who's got a husband, mm-hmm. or they have all these side characters in these movies, and they never have even a gay speaking role or a lesbian or bi- whatever speaking mm-hmm. role. And it's just, it fucking frustrates me.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Agreed.
But this movie,
because it's set up like it's not hard. And that's the thing. You can make excuses, but it's really actually easy.
And they purposely stay away from it. And I know the network's very conservative. They have a conservative audience, mm-hmm. but it's 2019. And I just think if you don't present it to people, mm-hmm. this was ABC. Disney owned ABC presented a gay couple in one of these movies on their network.
Yeah.
And it was network TV.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people watched it and weren't disgusted by this gay brother that was on screen.
No.
I'm sure they were like, oh, that's like my family.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they have a black male as a lead who looks like Michael B. Jordan.
Oh my God. He's so hot. Jenna. Yeah. Like so
he's
hot.
He's so hot.
He's in Younger too. Do you watch Younger?
Oh, yes.
He's so hot in Younger. And in Younger, he plays like such an asshole, mm-hmm. but he's like that asshole that you want to sleep with.
Yeah.
I love him.
I love him too. And then, so she meets that broker guy at the work party. And I love also her building is just like a basic medical building. And they're like, wow, you win all these awards. And then he hits on her and he's like, and then I think he compliments her about something like, oh, I brokered the deal. And then she's like, I'm going to the tropics. See ya. And so this
Christmas break. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Because no relationships really make it happen. And that's their meet
cute, which is like so like,
at the work thing, at the building reveal, you know. And then she goes to the tropics. And
we see a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
A flashback of her in Hawaii as a kid.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh that there was, first of all, no siblings in the flashback.
None.
So we learn later that, like, he had a sibling.
Has a sister.
Jeff is his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff and Olivia. So they both had siblings, but in the flashback, they weren't to be found.
They just had dads. And that was really cute. I love the little flashback scenes of the kids meeting, then through the years, first kiss off the cliff.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
The young lady who was playing Lea Michele in the flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, did you feel that maybe she had a CGI nose?
Oh!
I felt that didn't look like the actress who played Lea Michele as a kid, that was her real nose. I felt like it was some sort of prosthetic.
Well, Lea doesn't have a real nose either, so maybe Lea's trying to...
Well, nose is real, because it's...
I thought she... Real plastic or real?
No,
real?
It's real.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's like a bad nose.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's... I like it for her.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
bad. I shouldn't say bad, but it's... You
oh,
know,
maybe in, they CGI'd.
I don't know if I should say this on the podcast, but I'm going to anyway. I knew a girl that went to school with Lea, and she had told me, and I don't know, maybe this was a rumor or something, but allegedly, maybe Leah was like going to get her nose done before, but then she got Glee and had to go film. Like, she was a Broadway actress.
Oh.
And my friend, and maybe this was all bullshit, but she had told me that like Leah was all set to get her nose done. Which, no shade. I think anyone, if they want to, whatever, do whatever you want to do to your body. But that she just got Glee and then had to go off. And then once you're on screen like that, Leah Michelle's nose now is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It fits her. She's so cute. It fits her.
She's gorgeous. And she also has the most amazing body ever. Like,
yeah. She's very fit.
She's very fit.
Yeah. So in the flashbacks, they meet and they're like, oh, our families, we're fighting over lounge chairs. And then they start this lifelong tradition of going back to this resort for Christmas.
And her parents, played by Nia Vardalos.
Yes, Big Fat Greek Wedding.
And the guy who played Brian McKenzie in Father of the Bride. Yes. They're the parents. And they fuck each other all the time.
Oh, every time you see them, they're making out or he's grabbing her ass in the lobby. It's so cute. I love that was a choice.
I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that these two are still doing it after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah. And I like, too, that this is a theme throughout this movie that they don't obviously text or email throughout the year. They just agree to meet because they show up and the concierge tells them that the mom passed away, that Jeff's mom. I was like, you tell the concierge and not your best family
and
friends?
Why didn't they have social media either? Like, they would have followed each other on socials.
Yes.
For sure.
Exactly. But
One of the things that I love most about it is that we were in Hawaii, because normally we're always in a snowy location. And I happen to think Hawaii's maybe my favorite place in the world.
It's gorgeous.
I've only been twice, but it's my favorite place. Like, Matt and I say we want to go every year because we just, I think it's the most stunning, beautiful place. I think they were in Honolulu. I did some research, and it's the same resort that Forgetting Sarah Marshall filmed at.
Oh, you know what? Her room did remind me of that. The beachfront. Oh, wow. Okay. That's cool.
I just love Hawaii, though. It's such a beautiful, it's so, if anything, I wanted like more Hawaii porn out of this movie because those shots where we got like the waterfall and stuff and that cliff, it was so beautiful. And like, that's something you won't get anywhere else.
And the one luau scene where they get up and dance the luau when they're first finally back. And I love it how Leah's parents were like pouring on the PDA in front of their widower best friend.
So fucking rude.
Exactly. Yeah. There's like tongues down each other's throats.
And Jeff's dad, meanwhile, is like flirting with that resort woman the whole movie. Yes,
Alec.
Yeah. She's like, they are definitely going to be fucking.
For sure. Yeah. But he's really funny too. I like that he's a coach and they really hit it home. Bless you. With all of his coach stuff. Everything is a sports analogy, which I respect because in my writing, I also do that. Right now, when I'm writing, it's baseball, though. So there's just like Barry Bonds references. And I'm like,
those just go over my head.
They're just like, okay, deal. But, oh, and also main guy, Jeff, he builds sailboats.
Yes.
Hot. That's and such a funny
so hot.
Job.
And he's always got the button down opened or top off. I love a man without a blouse or the blouse open. It's just truly fantastic. And I think he must have worked out for this film because on Younger, I don't think he has that kind of body. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he definitely got this kind of body.
Yeah. He earned it building sailboats, which also did his sailboat is on the island. Did he sail to Hawaii? That's what was never said. And
at the beginning of the movie, he's in Hawaii, right? Did he sail?
How'd your boat get here?
At the beginning of the movie, he's in Hawaii alone, and it's revealed that he's getting a divorce. He's not divorced yet from his then wife, Carolyn, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the daughter is with the mom.
Yeah.
But that's so fucking messy for a holiday movie.
Oh, I know.
Shocking to me that they would have, like, he's just separated.
Yes.
Has a kid. And at the very beginning, I thought that he was saying that the daughter wasn't his kid. That's where I thought they were going, that he was going to say, it's her, my ex's kid. She had it from another relationship. And I thought that would have made for a cleaner break so that he could date Leah Michelle. Because I thought, how is this Christmas movie going to be?
A custody battle.
A custody battle, right. Yeah. Like, it seems so foreign to me to have in one of these movies like that I equate to something like Hallmark or Lifetime. It was messy.
Yeah.
But that's real life's messy.
Real life is so messy, especially when you have like longtime family friends. And then I love that he left because he wanted to go spend Christmas, you know, back with in Boston or wherever with his estranged wife and child. And then the next year he has the kid, the daughter with him. And I'm like, are you able to bring her out of state? Like, there was
so many questions.
So I thought that the ex-wife was going to show up, but she never did. Who did show up? The broker. We found out now they're dating in the city. And this guy,
he's mansplaining so much.
Yeah.
But it's moving so fast.
It's moving
like
so
all
fast.
Of a sudden we're at the next year, same time next Christmas.
And they're dating.
And that was That was jarring at first, how we kept going from year to year. I was like, this is moving very fast.
Yeah. As a joke, I watched it with my part-time job crush. He was with me and he listens to these. And I was laughing because I was like, oh, I bet they're just going to skip ahead. And sure enough, 10 different times or like 1 year later and never change any of hair, makeup, yeah. Nothing.
You know, I had recorded this movie off. I watched things on Sling Player. And so I recorded off that and I wasn't able to pause it because I was still watching it live.
Yes.
But I had to run to the bathroom and I ran back and I was confused because I had missed a year shift. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? Like, how is this? And then I had to realize like, oh, we're in the next year.
They skipped ahead.
It's just skipping ahead. And same time next Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. All. And so she is now dating the broker who I love. I mean,
were you attracted
I love to
him?
Hate him. No. At first I was, and then he started talking and I was like, oh, please.
Right.
But I
wasn't at first, and then I was when he was in the spandex for
the singlet.
The singlet.
When he showed up in his triathlon outfit. And I loved his character. I respected it because he only talked about work. And then when he shows up.
Another workaholic on our hands.
Exactly. This is an unlikely villain. And so he and Leah are dating and he knows that she goes with her family. And remember, he shows up while she's having that flirty arts and crafts confetti fight.
Confetti fight with Jeff.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, that's
and
a
the
funny
daughter.
Choice.
Yeah.
He shows up and he hasn't met her parents yet. I'm like, you just threw yourself into her destination holiday.
The family Christmas vacation.
Yes.
Yeah, he just goes.
Yeah.
He just
I thought that
goes.
Was ballsy.
Right.
And then for Christmas, remember he gets her a meeting with like the planning commission in Hawaii.
Right. You know, I was upset when he showed up because I was loving the flirting so much between Olivia and Jeff. I loved when they were in that the waterfall area when they were like flirting.
Kiss.
And speaking of kiss, by the way, that's another thing that wouldn't happen in one of the other Christmas movies because usually the kiss comes at the end and mm-hmm. it happens once.
Mm-hmm.
This was a movie where that first Hawaii season, we got a kiss.
When they're teenagers.
And we got the teenager kiss. And then we also, when they were adults, we got a kiss in the waterfall.
That would never happen.
It wasn't just one kiss either. It was like they kissed and then I think they made a went to commercial break and then they came back and they were making out again.
Yeah.
And then that was when he got the call from his ex-wife saying that. She wanted to get back together, make it work or whatever. And then he mm-hmm. tells Liam Michelle, there's a problem. My mm-hmm. wife's coming back. But anyway, there was this kiss early on. Kisses were happening early on. And that would never happen in another movie.
You're so right.
Never, never, never.
Never in a holiday movie.
But so, yeah, I'm enjoying the chemistry, but also she's dating this other man. So it was rude that she was like flirting with Jeff, her childhood crush. Because she is supposed to be with this new man.
Mm-hmm. With the broker.
And that's not okay.
Barks orders at her on his Bluetooth. I love the choice to have him on a Bluetooth back at the office, being like, we need the design, we need the plans.
That's like an early 2000s choice.
Totally. Yeah, where he's just in the skyscraper and then she's on her iPad designing a post office on the beach. I was like, this is so funny. How close to Christmas are we? Like, does this post office need to get built by the new year? Like, what is happening? But also, I admire their restraint because now that we're in the now, how have they not been drunk texting or stalking each other on Instagram? There was so much like, oh, they don't ever communicate outside of Christmas
just
week.
This 1 week of what? Christmas week in Hawaii. Yeah, that's all they see of each other or all they know of each other.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of her on that iPad, like doing the design work, mm-hmm. did you ever see Waiting for Guffman?
Yes.
You know when Corky mm-hmm. is designing, he's designing like costumes and then you see the picture of the costume, it's just like this cartoon.
Yeah.
That's what makes me think of like the Leah Michelle, like she's doing architect work, but it's like not, it's just like a cartoon.
On a tablet. Yeah. Of a front of a thing. And then Jeff comes over and I like that we never, I mean, I would love to see a sailboat building montage. Sure. I'm like, get him out by the sawhorse, you know, let's see some sanding. But he comes over and he just says, she's like, I need to add light to this post office going back to, you know, 'tis the season. And he goes, use steel beams. They reflect light. And then that was it.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I don't know.
Also, I like because they're moving so fast.
So much mansplaining.
I know. So it's, epidemic. I also like how they're moving so fast that they have, or so quickly that they have to somehow get Jeff's daughter to really fall in love with Lea Michele's character.
Yeah.
And so they do that by like having her build sandcastles with her. Mm-hmm. And so it's like Leah helps her, is like, hey, you got to press the sand in this sandcastle thing mm-hmm. real tight. And that's how you make a sandcastle. And then it's like just that, like the Leah Michelle's character building a sandcastle with the girl. Suddenly the girl's like, I want to be my new mom. Like,
yeah. That is a well-adjusted
that
child.
Sells, like, the sandcastle is, like, sells her to, like, forget about her real mother who's in another state.
Grandma just passed recently, right?
Like, things have, this girl's life has been turned upside down. Like, the parents got divorced. She's spending the holiday without her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not led to believe that the daughter has a bad relationship with the mother.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that little girl be devastated this whole Christmas vacation, her first without her mother?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's instant family, which this was taken
new woman
recently.
Hops in her life and she builds her sandcastle and suddenly the girl's like, well, who the fuck cares about my real mother?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. It really is.
They just had to move so fast.
They did.
And Lea Michele, when she was building that sandcastle with the young girl and Jeff comes over and like they had such great chemistry and they wanted to fuck over that sandcastle.
I know.
Somebody had to say it.
I know.
That was when the girl said, I like her daddy. It was like literally 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Also throughout this movie, there's a Luther Vandross theme happening, which I appreciated.
She's in full hair, makeup, and jewelry sitting at the pool. And that's when Luther Vandross is playing. And it is very like sexual.
It's sexual. And I love Luther Vandross. I think his voice is great. And as I was watching this movie, I was like, I got to put Luther on my Spotify Christmas playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, we need that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Greg, you had mentioned, shows up while Olivia's flirting with Jeff. And he's, again, supposed to be the villain, but he didn't necessarily do much wrong. Of course, he's supposed to be the villain, but he was led to believe that he was in a relationship with Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he does show up, which is crazy to show up on someone's family vacation. But for the most part, it was like he was kind of fucked over.
Yeah, and he was ready to propose. He obviously came with a ring.
He came with the ring.
And he brought gifts for the family, right, which was a good move. Yeah, so he wasn't like a bad guy necessarily.
They kept saying he like didn't like sand. And yeah, it was like that sand. That was like the audience was supposed to be like, how dare he not like sand?
What a monster. And he also, besides always talking about work, which I think that was a funny thing, every time they were together, he was always talking about work and what deals, because he wanted them to be, what to run an empire in the Ohio Valley.
Yeah. King and queen.
And the king and queen of like the Ohio Valley.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. And even at their romantic dinner, he pulls her away from her family and then is going to propose. And the entire dinner, he's just talking about work. And I'm like, oh, this guy.
Cool it. He also, there's that scene where they have the Christmas competition.
Oh, the Olympics. Yes.
It's like the Olympics. Yeah. And I was so confused during this scene because I was thinking at first that they were getting into teams, because that's what we were led to believe. They were in teams, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I was imagining that like there'd be different legs of this competition. So like one person from the team would go and do the one first competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else would go do competition number two.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden it was, they picked one person from each team to represent the team.
Yeah.
And then they went and did this Olympic thing where they put together a gingerbread house and then had to ride a little bike.
A tricycle. And it's just Greg and the children.
Yeah, it was all children. I was like thinking, shouldn't they have had some other child? It was like
very...
I know they were trying to portray him as the villain, but it was bizarre.
Yeah, it really was.
And Lea Michele's family had to sign off on Greg doing that.
Yeah. It made no sense.
It should have been Lea Michele doing the competition. I understand why they had to do that. But even at the end, though, Greg shows restraint by not winning the competition and lets the little girl win.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think that he was not such a bad guy.
Yeah. Right? And he's an architect and he botched his gingerbread house.
How the fuck I will say, though, those gingerbread houses are hard to make.
Yeah.
And those kids made them flawlessly. Like, did you see them? I was like, there's no fucking way that those kids made those gingerbread. I was like mad.
Yeah. No, because you have to hold up all four sides. It's a two-person job.
And they had like a gorgeous decor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
He did look good in that singlet, though. I was like, okay.
Yeah. And he had like some shades of Bradley Cooper in Wedding Crashers, where he was like going to be aggressively competitive. Yeah, it was funny because like my family does competitions at reunions. I come from a game playing family.
What kind of competitions?
Well, there's a theme every year. And so at the Brister family, we did Survivor one year and it was a lot like this, where we had tiki torches and you had to do feats of strength and races. Okay. So I connected with it, but at a resort in Hawaii, I would be so mad if someone was like, get off your lounge chair. You're going to go tricycle. Right. Or you have to stand and cheer for this. But I get it's a movie. It's not real.
Yeah.
But still,
I know.
Odd.
I feel like in Hawaii, the times that I've gone, I've literally done nothing. It's like sit on a beach and then go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's it.
Yeah.
Sit by the pool.
Yeah.
So then we have this scene on the beach where the dog, there's like kind of like this dog chase. And
yes.
It was a way to get Olivia and Jeff back on that cliff. that mm-hmm. romantic cliff that they have history on, mm-hmm. to get him back on that cliff and alone.
Yes.
Because at this point, Olivia's with
Broker.
Greg, Broker. Mm-hmm. And so she gets back with Jeff. And it's funny when they were running to chase the dog and Lea Michele's character goes, oh, I'm so out of shape. And she was like breathing heavy. I was like, first of all, earlier in the movie, we saw you doing yoga. Second of all, your body is perfect.
Yes.
There's no way you're out of shape.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then they just stop. And the GM got a golden retriever mm-hmm. for the resort, which I think is, I'm a dog person. I have a dog. But that's such a funny choice. But it was only because they wanted this scene of chasing the Homeward Bound down the beach.
Didn't you tell me one of the things, or I don't know if it was you or someone else, but one of the things Hallmark always wants is a dog in the movie?
Oh,
I didn't heard know that. For their holiday movies, they always want a dog.
And they totally do.
I don't know where I heard that. Maybe
right
I'm
before Christmas. Yeah.
Anyway, so then Greg asks Olivia to marry him. She says yes, mm-hmm. which is stupid. Why did she say yes?
Yeah. I don't know why. She shouldn't have. And he took his shoes off and he's like, look, I'll stand in the sand.
Right.
Let's do this.
Yeah, she said yes.
It's a huge rock. But, oh yeah. So then I think, don't we instantly cut to the next year?
We cut to the next, or is it the next year? I don't remember. I do know we have a scene where Olivia yells at Jeff and she says, you left me twice.
Yeah.
Because Jeff confesses his love to her.
Yeah.
And this was actually my favorite moment of the movie. It was nighttime and Jeff says to Olivia, you're the one who always chose dare. Choose truth this time. Do you love me? And she says, I'm sorry, I can't. And she runs away. And I actually thought this was great acting.
It was such good acting.
It was very good acting. And it reminded me, as a Glee fan, there was a scene in Glee when Lea Michele's character was breaking up with Corey Monteith. Mm. And it was this breakup scene that is fantastic acting. And truly, Lea Michele should have been nominated for an Emmy. It was towards kind of like the end of Glee. So it was like during the bad years. But there's one scene where she breaks up with him. And it's, maybe I'll try to cut it in here.
But you not telling me where you were for 4 months and sneaking out before sunrise in the middle of the night without saying goodbye, that is not being a man, Finn.
I'm trying to give you your freedom.
I don't need you to give me my freedom. I am a grown woman. I don't need you to hide from me, to keep me from doing what is right for me.
Like that Brody guy?
I didn't do Brody, okay? And don't you think that I would have rather have been with you?
Well, didn't you say he was on Broadway, right? And he's got like 3% body fat. Who am I? I barely even graduated high school, and my life has absolutely no direction.
Don't you get it? No matter how rich or famous or successful I become, when it comes to you, I'm always going to be that moon-eyed girl who freaked you out at our first Glee rehearsal. You are the first boy who made me feel loved and sexy and visible. You are my first love. And I want, more than anything, for you to be my last. But I can't do this anymore. At least not now.
Icons, if you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic.
Ow.
But it's so, so good.
And she brought that same heat to this scene. It was really heartfelt.
It was so good. And it reminds, she does the same kind of acting. And I think she's a good actor in general. And there was one thing that was bothering me a little bit, is that she had gotten fresh Botox. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't able to emote as much on her face as I've seen her before.
Yes.
And I was thinking, Leah, I wish, sometimes with these actors, I constantly notice the Botox. And I know that's like the pressure of like looking younger and all that stuff. But I wish sometimes our like good actresses, our great actresses, or people that I just want to be a great actress, mm-hmm. would loosen up on the Botox a little bit so that they can move their face a little bit, because a little bit more, mm-hmm. to emote, because I've seen her emote so well. And I think she was still doing an amazing job acting that scene, but it was taking me out of it just a touch.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, Leah, like I just want her to lean into being a good actress. Like, I don't want her to be chasing. I think if there's something I want for Leah Michelle's career, it's that I want her to lean into just being like doing good work and not trying to chase like the ingenue roles, because mm-hmm. I don't think she's going to get those ingenue roles anymore.
Hudgens is, we got Zendaya coming up.
There's too many young ladies, and unfortunately people just do not like Leah Michelle.
Yeah.
But I would like her to just lean in to be a good actress, and don't maybe load up with so much Botox that you're having trouble emoting with your face.
Exactly.
Anyway, but she was still great.
Yeah. And in the scene,
and everyone should do what they want with their body.
Yeah. But also feel good aging gracefully.
Sure.
They bring up finally that they've been basically ghosting each other back and forth through the years, which I think is so interesting, because you're right. He's like, tell me the truth. It's like, you also had a wife and child. Leah's been single in the Ohio Valley this whole time.
Like you went off and made a family.
Like, yes.
There was nothing stopping you other than your fucking laziness.
Exactly. And he puts it on her. And it's like, now you have a kid, you know? So, which, I mean, they get along great. That's fine. But also the people giving advice, Leah goes to her brother, which I think is a good move because he's probably the only one in a stable relationship. And then Alex's dad, the coach, he gets drunk off eggnog at the bonfire and he's just like hammered. So when they show up, he's like, he gives his son advice. And I wrote this down. What if who we are on vacation? Oh no, this was what Jeff said to her. Like, what if who we are on vacation is the only thing that's real? I think during that, and I was like, that is such a funny line. Cause no, like, well, what if who we are in Hawaii over the holidays is our real selves? Like, who literally thinks that?
That's crazy.
No.
And like literally their lives just don't seem to exist outside of this Hawaiian vacation every year.
And exactly. And I thought that was a really funny way to try to plead with her to choose him.
You mentioned she goes to other people for advice, and I wish that Nia Vardalos got more to do in this movie.
I know.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I bet you that choice of her in the Brian McKenzie character, mm-hmm. I bet that choice of them like being so flirtatious and sexual with each other, I feel like Nia Vardalos as a writer herself, mm-hmm. I feel like she got the script and there was none of that, and she's like, we got to make this my character interesting a little bit. And so I feel like she added that.
I love that.
I don't know that.
That would make sense, though, because it was a lot of those stolen moments across the lobby where they're making out.
She did that. I feel like she's smart. She's a writer. She's an improviser. I bet you there was nothing for the mom in the script. And she's like, at least can you like let me add something?
Mm-hmm.
That her husband, though, was making me laugh because he was doing a lot of necklace work. Like, he had a The Latinx. And then he also was always wearing those like really gross male sandals that are like
mandals.
What are they? Yeah, like they're the ugliest male sandals where they're like Velcro-y or...
I clocked those in every scene also. Even in the night where it was supposed to be her rehearsal dinner or the night of the wedding, I thought was interesting where everyone's totally fine just glossing over the rehearsal dinner. And Nia had brought the veil, so she's wearing it in the room. And I was like, wait, so we're committed to this. We are committed
to getting her married.
A white wedding. Like, this is, nothing happens outside of Hawaii.
No, we're doing the wedding in Hawaii.
Yeah.
With the male sandals on.
Mm-hmm. With mandals. And he makes it about himself in the toast, the dad. And remember, he's like, my wife and I, and he talks about their love story. And it's just, it's so funny.
You know, I don't like toasts at weddings, and I feel like they get out of hand. Like, people just keep talking, and then there's 100 fucking toasts, and they're talking about stories that happen. Like, the bridesmaid is telling a story about how the bride, they were in college, and they got, and it's just too long. And the whole wedding is sitting there, like, either waiting to eat, or waiting for cake, or waiting to dance.
To drink.
And it's like, nobody wants to sit and listen to a fucking speech. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that no one's a good enough speechwriter. Like, the people that are doing speeches at any wedding, they're typically not some sort of writer, brilliant.
A performer.
They're not John Grisham or I don't know who.
Nor Efron.
They're not Efron. They're not Oprah Winfrey. Like, they're not giving good speeches. Mm-hmm. And they'll do pages long of speeches.
Yeah.
And I hate sitting at a wedding and just like being like, I want to get a vodka soda, but I can't get up right now because that fucking best man is talking about some story about how the groom got drunk in a cab and at age 22. Like, enough is enough.
I went to a wedding with my ex. There was one guy bombed because he was like insisted on telling some horrible story about hiking and getting like being hungover, and everyone was just, I think he got heckled in the back by some grandpa who was like, I don't care. And I was like, yeah, no one cares.
No,
like,
one gives a fuck.
Stop. Yeah. Make it short and sweet. Get out of there.
And if you have more to say, if you want to like relive memories or something, tell the bride or the groom in a private.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know in an email.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to do that at the wedding.
No.
I hate it. But it is all moving again so fast. Olivia breaks up with Greg eventually and gives the ring back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the dad. Okay, so Jeff's dad. I wrote this down because his big advice, you know, after he like wakes up, he bounces back, right? What he gets really drunk. They take him home. And then he comes up and he tells Jeff, don't give up what you want most for what you want now. And that's an actual quote by someone named Neil Maxwell. And they just lifted it from the internet. And because I have it on like a magnet. And I was like, oh, that's on my fridge.
That sounds familiar.
And they're like, who said that? And they are like, Alec, that's what he always says. And
that's Alec for you.
Which was so, and so here we are. It's messy. Year after year. Also, if we put together all the time that they've spent together, it would only be what, like 3 or 4 months?
Sure.
This relationship? Minutes. Yes, exactly. Like, this is not a real relationship, but it's fine. And Leah is the one who does the grand gesture. They're all in the lobby singing carols. And she's the one who gets the snow machine. And I was like,
he should have worked harder for it.
Yeah.
He should have worked harder.
I was surprised. I was like, no. This was her wedding night. So on her wedding night, she is doing a grand gesture to her childhood friend with a snow machine. What?
Can I ask you a question going back a little bit?
Yeah,
so Olivia, Leah Michelle's character, gives back the ring to Greg. And where do you stand on that? Do you think if you get an engagement ring and you don't get married, you should give back the ring, right?
I think you back the ring.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so too. But I just was curious.
I wonder if you get married. I think it could
you
be
keep
different.
It, right?
Maybe you if can keep married. It or give it back. Yeah. I think it maybe depends.
Or I feel like you would repurpose the diamond if you got a divorce and kept the ring.
Didn't Mariah Carey, remember that billionaire?
Do you know what Mariah did?
Yeah.
Not only did she keep like the $10 million ring or something, it was like a very expensive ring because the guy she was engaged to was a billionaire.
Yeah.
Not only did she keep the engagement ring, she charged him an inconvenience fee.
What?
She sued him for she got an inconvenience fee for not getting married.
Having to, oh my gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
That is really funny that's
a thing.
And
she's fucking rich. I think she got like $50 million as an inconvenience fee. That was what was reported. I don't know what's true.
Goals.
Maybe it was rumors. But yeah, it was, she ended up like making $60 million off the failed engagement. And like, come on, that's fucking boss.
That's
and she don't
so
need the
boss.
Money. Like, she makes $60 million a year just from her Christmas song.
But I like, yeah. But I like the idea of looking back on a relationship like that and being like, this was an inconvenience.
An inconvenience.
Like, it wasn't a relationship. This was an inconvenience.
And honestly, you know, that's what men are often.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So. Oftentimes.
So anyway, she decides. Olivia decides at literally 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve that she needs Jeff now, and that's when she does the big thing and does the big grand gesture with the snow, because she knows that Jeff likes snow.
Yeah. And what's a weird thing I kept noticing too with her is that all the men in her life give her really selfish gifts. Like, not only did the broker, I think he set her up with a meeting at the planning commission in Hawaii, but then Jeff, who ends up winning, gives her paper plane tickets to San Diego. But doesn't she live in, where does she live now? She's in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I believe.
And I was like, and he's like, oh, it's kind of like selfish. I'm like, she has not gotten a real gift once besides the ring. And then she had to give it back. I'm like, give the girl a necklace.
I know. She really got the shaft.
She did.
Now that we're talking
about it. Yeah. She had to do the grand gesture. She got no presents. She has to fly to San Diego now. It's like, okay, thanks. Thanks for the flight to visit you. And to co-parent.
Didn't you think that it was ending then? Like, when she has the kiss and they play Luther Vandross, I thought, okay, credits are going to roll because it's the end.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden there was another scene where we cut to Christmas Day the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Lea Michele, her song with Jonathan Groff is playing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, wait, no, there were two more scenes. So this was Christmas Day of that same year, I believe. And that was when she got the ticket to San Diego.
Yeah.
Then we cut to the next year and there's a wedding on the beach. And I thought, we didn't need this scene. Like, we ended twice already.
Yeah. And then they jump off the cliff, and her dad's a priest now, and all the extras. I want to give a shout out to the
needed.
Yeah, all the hotel extras, because the lobby was always filled with people who were also then at the rehearsal dinner, but no one talks to these people. I'm like, are they just guests who won the lottery and they just get to be part of this fan? It was very interesting.
I love that they ended the movie the same way Thelma and Louise does, where they jump off a cliff.
Yes,
it was just great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Into their future.
We did not need that scene at all.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
And I would have liked them to set up a sequel. Like, we could have had the wedding in Hawaii for next season if they wouldn't have had that scene.
And Jeff's dad and the GM are now dating because he got her tickets to, oh no, she got him Boston Red Sox tickets.
Red Sox tickets.
You know? And so it's like, oh my gosh, now he's dating the GM of the resort. You know, and I like his past too, because he had gotten remarried off of Tinder or something. Yeah, like he was on Tinder and I was like, what?
And that woman who runs the resort, like, isn't it unprofessional, like, flirting with the guests of the hotel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, in hospitality, you're not supposed to bang your guests or buy them tickets to Red Sox games, you know, but hey.
Do you have any final thoughts? That's the end of the movie. Do you have any final thoughts about this movie?
Oh, have high standards for the gifts you get.
Sure.
From the men in your life or the women or whoever is in your life. You know, I think that's what it is. If I was dating someone and they got me a meeting for work for Christmas, I'd be like, see ya.
What's the best gift you've ever gotten?
Oh, this is actually good. An ex of mine, I was in my early 20s, got me. Well, he had also ended up proposing. I always wanted a star named after me. I'll tell you his real name after we're done with this. He got me a star, certificate from NASA with my name, but his last name. Yeah.
Wait, is that how he proposed?
No, it was later using like all these cards, but that was a Christmas present that I could never have because we never got married. So I have this bastard star somewhere up in the galaxy.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah. What about you? What's the strangest?
I don't know the strange, you know, Matt's really good gift giver. He's really good at it. And he can make things. He's creative. And then he gets good gifts. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, there was one Valentine's Day that he made me this like big card, and I used to still have it, but it started falling apart. But he, you know, those candy hearts that would say things. So he like wrote a whole story, but like some of the words in the card in the story would be replaced with those, like the card saying.
That's cute. He like not glued
so
them
he
on.
He would say, Danny. And then it would be a heart that said, you're mine. I'm so happy that we, you know, fucked her.
Yeah.
But it would be the heart replaced, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's so cute.
Yeah, that was nice. But he always gives, I'm trying to think of others. He's a good, he's better than me.
He's crafty.
He's crafty. And then he just will, and he's very gadget. He can like put together gadgets too.
Oh,
so sometimes he'll like put together some sort of gadget that
drone.
I didn't even know existed. Yeah. And it'll be like a great thing. So anyway, he's a good gift giver, but,
That's really cool.
I did have another guy that I dated. Gave me Bridge to Terabithia is my favorite book of all time.
Oh, okay.
And he found me like a first edition copy. It's like a really old book. And he found me a first edition copy with like a library card in it. And he like wrote a really romantic thing. It was nice.
That's so sweet. Yeah. I love thoughtful gifts. Yeah. And that's something that I wish someone had done a pass like on Leah's side of this story. Yeah, and been like, hey.
We always need like a female or gay to go through the scripts and just do pass and like beef up the female characters.
Yeah. And be like, she got ghosted by this guy. Would she really use her wedding night snow machine to get him back? No.
No.
I don't know.
Speaking of female Christmas characters, I briefly want to mention that Goldie Hawn just announced that she's going to be doing the sequel to Christmas Chronicles, the Netflix movie. She just posted on her Instagram that they're filming now, so it'll be out next Christmas.
Oh, we are definitely going to cover that. Because remember at the very end of Christmas Chronicles, he's like, hey, Mrs. Claus, and she turns around. I was like, yes! That was a great cameo. Oh, well, this makes me so happy. I love Goldie.
I know, I love Goldie too. Now, Jenna, next week is going to be possibly our last episode. We said we were going to do six, so next week's our sixth episode. Mm-hmm. It's Jingle All the Way we'll be covering, which is currently on HBO On Demand. I believe you can watch it.
Or in a VHS in your parents' basement. Right. I'm watch sure it's somewhere.
You can watch it somewhere. Or just listen. We hope you can listen to that one without even... Yeah. Maybe you haven't seen it for years, whatever. Anyway, that is maybe going to wrap up our holiday season. We're going to try to do one more as like a bonus. We don't know yet because we're both traveling for the holidays.
We'll do our best.
We're doing our best. And maybe next year we'll cover more movies again, but we've had so much fun.
This is so fun.
We thank everyone and everyone for writing us on social media and following along and listening. And we wish we could cover everyone's been giving us so many great suggestions. I wish we could cover all of them.
There's so many good ones out there. And maybe we'll do a Valentine's. We could talk about that too.
We could
maybe
do like another holiday or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to. We should do like some other holiday.
Mm-hmm. We will.
People were recommending Holiday in Handcuffs.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot of people were recommending that.
Melissa Joan Fart movie.
Yeah.
And look, we just couldn't get to them all.
Yeah.
So many.
Stockholm Syndrome is a good theme though.
We'll see. We'll try to do a bonus episode, but if not, next week will be our last episode, Jingle All the Way. Mm-hmm. Watch it.
Yes.
I want to encourage everyone to buy Fancy AF Cocktails. It's a new cocktail book that I co-wrote. It's in Target or Amazon or Barnes & Noble or your indie local bookseller. Go buy it. Support local booksellers. And you can find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Instagram and Twitter, and a very merry iconic podcast on Instagram you could follow.
Yes. And I'm at Jenna Brister on Insta and Twitter.
Right. And I'm on Cameo. So cameo.com/Danny Pellegrino if you want one of those. Jenna, I love you.
We
love everyone for listening.
Yeah, love you guys.
And bye-bye.
Have fun.
Hey, Drew Scott here. And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.